look back at the week that was. Jeff Field is in to take us through the weekly wrap. It's been, I feel, a week that's dragged on forever, Jeff.
It feels like 3 weeks. I can't believe this time last week I was saying to you, I'm confident Bill Shorten will be Prime Minister.
That doesn't feel like a week ago.
That was a week ago. So let's go way back to Monday.
All right.
So Monday we had Bill Shorten confident the Labor Party will learn from a second failed bid to form a federal government with him as the nation's Prime Minister. So on Monday we had three candidates emerging as possible leaders for Labor. That was Anthony Albanese, Chris Bowen and Tanya Plibersek. We'll continue on with that as the week goes on. Donald Trump outlined his strongly pro-life views on abortion as more and more states in the United States want to outlaw it with big jail penalties, etc. Saudi Arabia says it wanted to avert war in the region but stands ready to respond with all strength following last week's attack on Saudi oil assets. And new laws came into effect across New South Wales, which would mean severe punishments for drink driving at any level, including low range offences. Under the new reforms, first-time drink driving offenders could lose their licence immediately and be hit with a big fine. Moving to Tuesday now, Shadow Treasurer Chris Bowen held a press conference to announce his candidacy for the Labor leadership, setting up a contest with fellow frontbencher Anthony Albanese. Speaking from his home, he said Labor has to move back to its base. We'll be hearing more about this as the week progresses. A 14-year-old boy was arrested after he stabbed a woman in a cigarette store at Parramatta. The boy threatened the 24-year-old cigarette store employee with a knife while demanding money after an altercation, threw the knife at the woman, hitting her in the face, just missing her eye but causing severe damage. He faced the children's court. That is still before the courts. Australians were once again advised to get vaccinated against the flu, with the number of cases so far this year 6 times higher than the worst April on record. It will be some time before experts know what's fueling the worse than usual outbreak, which has claimed at least 63 lives since the start of the year. One could mention a certain movement on the internet, starting with Andy, but
yeah,
we'll
that's awful
on.
Though.
And it is really distressing.
One of the I was reading as well. I think in Victoria, 3 little kids died of the flu as well. The oldest was 11. The youngest was not quite 1.
Absolutely dreadful. Vaccinate.
Yeah,
please vaccinate.
Absolutely.
Wednesday, it was announced that Prime Minister Scott Morrison will have the 76-seat majority that he needs to govern. And that, again, will play out as we continue the week that was. The Australian Electoral Commission took the Victorian seat of Chisholm off the close seats and gave it to Liberal candidate Gladys Liu. I won't say anything about Gladys. We're still up to Wednesday. A Brisbane man was charged with attempting to support a terrorist organisation after a joint state and federal police team raided a house there. He's accused of supporting the Islamic State in Iraq by providing video editing software to a relative who travelled to the conflict zone. He is still facing those charges. Scientists believe that global sea levels could rise far more than predicted due to accelerating melting in Greenland and Antarctica. The long-held view has been that the world's seas would rise by a maximum of just under a metre by 2100. This new study, though, based on expert opinions, projects that the real level may be around double that figure. And meanwhile, we seem to have in this country this week politicians from both sides moving right away from climate change and talking about how good coal is, etc. That's another story for another day. Trams began their first journey through Surry Hills to Central Station in the CBD in a test run. We're told there were no problems with that run.
It wouldn't be the first time we were told there were no problems with the light rail, though.
Yeah. And Donald Trump Some of the world's biggest footwear firms are urging Donald Trump to end the US trade war with China, warning of a catastrophic effect on consumers. In a letter signed by 170 companies, including the likes of Nike and Adidas, they claim the president's decision to lift import tariffs to 25% will disproportionately impact the working class. Now we move to yesterday, where we basically found out that Anthony Albanese would be the next Labor leader because there was no opposition.
Everyone else fell away.
Tanya Plibersek said for family reasons she wouldn't run. As she's my local member, I respect that lady and I wish her all the best in the future. I think it's a loss, in my opinion. Chris Bowen also pulled out of the race. And Jim Chalmers, who I really didn't know much about, to be honest, he also pulled out late yesterday. So that means they don't have to go through the whole long, drawn-out process of going to all the members if there's only one person. So it will be Anthony Albanese. And by the way, Anthony Albanese held a news conference yesterday saying Labor has to get to back to its roots, back to its base, back to the blue-collar voters. So I don't know what that means, but meanwhile, the ABC's Anthony Green predicted 78 seats for the coalition, Labor 65 and others 5. Six people died and at least 200 people were injured in riots in Jakarta in the wake of the announcement that Joko Widodo had won the Indonesian election. Shocking vision filmed by riders themselves showed the violent protesters torching parked vehicles, pelting slingshots, fireworks and other missiles towards police. I saw on the ABC last night David Lipsom, their reporter, their crew being attacked.
Wow.
So it's a really volatile situation in Indonesia because it's, it seems like the whole world is divided at the moment. Half the people that voted for Widodo, obviously very happy. The other half that voted for the opposition, furious.
Yeah, wow.
And I don't know what's going to happen there. Back to public transport. We were told yesterday that there would be free rides for passengers on the long-awaited metro line on Sunday. You have to turn up from 11 o'clock onwards. But Gladys Berejiklian ominously did come out yesterday saying, please stagger your trips because we don't want overcrowding. That would be a bad look.
Amazing. Amazing.
Sydney residents were warned yesterday that water restrictions could be enforced within 10 weeks as dam levels dip to just under 54%. And I think the big story which broke late yesterday, long after we went off air, was Geoffrey Rush, who was awarded Australia's biggest ever defamation payout, $2.9 million.
Wow.
Against the Daily Telegraph. Of course, you may remember, I'm sure everyone remembers that front page of him as King Lear. The judge found that it depicted him as a pervert and a sexual predator. He awarded, Justice Wigney at the time of the initial payout awarded him $850,000 in damages plus $42,000 interest for non-economic loss, but wanted to further consider the special damages for lost earnings, cost and interest. Some might say an Oscar winner is worth more than $2.9 million, but anyway, that's Australia's largest defamation payout.
And I love that originally the offer was to settle for $50,000 and a front page apology.
Yeah.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, incredible. It was a pretty full-on week, so let's just tell everyone to get out and enjoy Vivid tonight. That's all I can think of.
I think that's the plan. Thanks so much, Jeff.
Thanks, Tess.
Jeff Field with the Weekly Wrap. Looking back at the week that was, been an interesting one this week. I feel like it's dragged on forever, but we have made it to Friday.